Breakfast with Ben's podcast. Tim Benz with you, getting set for the AFC and NFC championship games. Pleased to be joined right now by a longtime friend in the business. We go back, 25 years at this point to Salt Lake City, and we even overlapped for a little while here in Pittsburgh at ESPN Radio 1250 back in the day. John Lund, who is the midday host at KNBR in the Bay Area. He's on with Greg Papa, Papa and Lund, 10 until 2 on KNBR 680, getting set for the 49ers and the Eagles on championship weekend. John, great to catch up with you again, man. How are things out there?
Good, man. Time flies, man. I just heard what you said. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting old. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, man.
It's been a while, and, you know, 25 years from now, we'll be telling our kids and grandkids, hey, they used to have AFC and NFC championship games at home venues.
Exactly. Oh, don't get me started.
Are you going out to Philadelphia by any chance for the last potential NFC championship game at a home venue, or are you sticking around in San Francisco for the weekend?
You know what? They asked if I wanted to go, and I've been traveling so much to all this stuff, so I'm going to stay home for this one. And then, you know, either way, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's just, it'd be nice here in San Francisco if we took the 49ers along with us.
So with this game coming up against the Eagles and with the ascent and rise of Brock Purdy, well, let me start right there. What is the Brock mania like out in San Francisco right now?
It's as big as you could possibly make it. And you guys know this. I mean, it's, you know, when you get a young guy and he comes on the scene, especially given the way that this season started, Trey Lance played the first couple of games and they traded a bunch of picks for him. And then it really wasn't working out, to be honest. And then Jimmy Garoppolo comes in and the weird situation that he had, he wasn't even in training camp. He was thrown on the side, didn't have a playbook. All of a sudden, Lance gets hurt and they're like, hey, old buddy, you know, they bring him back. He plays for a few games. And then Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, and then you get down to Brock Purdy, and some of the insiders on the team said, hey, he had a really good training camp, but come on, he's the last pick in the draft. He's Mr. Irrelevant. What could he possibly do? We've seen other teams. I think they used 65 quarterbacks in the NFL, a record this year, and we've seen the Skylar Thompsons, and you know, the Ravens had to get down to their third quarterback, Anthony Brown. I mean, it just, when you get to the third quarterback, it's not happening anymore. And this guy's come onto the scene, and he's done great. Now, in all fairness to everything, as much as the mania is, Kyle Shanahan's one of the best offensive minds in the league, and you're looking at wide receivers running open. You're looking at, you know, they made a great trade, obviously, for Christian McCaffrey, and you put him with Debo and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Elijah Mitchell and the offensive weapons they have. So, look, he's done the right things, and he's been efficient, but there's a lot more to Brock Purdy than meets the eye. But we know what happens in today's media. It's like you glom onto a star, and all of a sudden, you know, this guy's the next – Joe Montana. I mean, I've heard those comparisons. That's how nuts it's gotten. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He's not Joe. He's not Steve. Let's settle it down until the guy proves a few things. But you know how the train gets rolling. It's just all of a sudden it's like everything is Brock Purdy and all the Purdyisms, and that's a pretty good throw. And it's like, okay, stop. Let's stop. let's slow the train. So we'll see, because, you know, the game looked really fast for him against Dallas, and I imagine it's going to be even faster against the Eagles.
That's the point I was going to get to next. He can be good. He can be better than expected. There could be some level of legitimacy to how good he is and how good he is in this offensive fit. That all could be true, and he could still turn into a pumpkin against the Eagles defense, and I kind of think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, look, it's a nice story, but I think what's happening is, and I'm not degrading the guy because it's amazing, and he's very poised. I've talked to him. He's, hey, look, there's a lot of positives about this guy, and I think he's got a great future in front of him. But just to make the analogy, and you guys know this, it's, you know, a hitter comes up in the big leagues and he hits a bunch of home runs and he's great. Nobody can get him out, and they start making adjustments to him. Well, now Brock Purdy's played, you know, 7-8 games, and teams are starting to see, you know, he leaks out to the left. He's a right-handed quarterback. He's got to turn his body completely around. He likes to move that way. And there's certain things that he does. And look, he's good. But to think that a guy can come in as a seventh-round pick and be as good as he's ever going to be, there's got to be some improvement there. Defenses are complicated. They start to get a book on you, and now he's played enough games to where it's like, okay, this is what we want him to do. Can he adjust to it? And that's the stage we're in. The thing that's in his favor is, like I said, Kyle Shanahan's a brilliant mind, and there are so many offensive weapons that really what it boils down to for the 49ers, and I don't know if this is going to be good enough to beat the Eagles, don't turn it over. He's thrown a couple of interceptions, but over the last number of games, he hasn't fumbled the ball. He hasn't made the critical mistake that happened in the Seattle game where Geno Smith had a fumble in the third quarter that doomed Seattle. Dak Prescott, a couple of stupid interceptions against the 49ers that turned that game. He hasn't made the critical mistake to lose the 49ers a football game, which is great, But now as you advance through this process, like you said, is that is efficiency game manager, whatever you want to call it, has become a negative term in the league. Is that good enough to beat a team like the Eagles?
John Lund with us from KNBR in San Francisco talking about the Eagles and the Niners for the NFC Championship. How about that battle up front? Who wins there? I'm really intrigued to see the defensive front of Philadelphia against the offensive line for the Niners.
I mean, you got Trent Williams on one side. Mike McGlinchey has had some problems on the right side. The interior of the offensive line is inexperienced. But to this point, you know, Aaron Banks, who played at Notre Dame, he's had actually a pretty surprisingly good year. They got a guy named Spencer Burford, who's a rookie out of Texas San Antonio at right guard. Makes you a little bit nervous. They'll put Daniel Brunskill in there. And then they've got Jake Brendel, who's a center, who's inexperienced as well, even though he's about 30 years old. But they've held up on the inside well. But like I said, I just think they're going to need some help. I think they're going to have to leave Kittle in sometimes to chip. They're going to have to use the backs to chip because they just had a lot of trouble with the speed of Dallas, and they had multiple fronts to them. And Philadelphia, they don't need to blitz. They, like you said, they got four different guys with 10 sacks. They just have a lot of different guys. And I think the key to the 49ers, as it always is, you're not going to drop back and ask Brock Purdy to throw the ball 40 times a game. If you do that, it means you're losing and you're behind. What they do is they run the football, and they do it in multiple ways. So whether it's Deebo Samuel, Elijah Mitchell, Christian McCaffrey, or short, quick hitters, things are going to have to slow down that pass rush because they're going to get home sometimes. I mean, Trent Williams might be the best left tackle in the league, but a lot of times you're just not going to put your best guys. You're going to move that front around. So it really is dependent on whether the 49ers can run the football and have a balanced offense, because when they do that, when Kyle Shanahan runs the ball 30-plus times a game through his tenure with the 49ers, they're almost impossible to beat. If they're under that number, that means Philadelphia is putting the pressure on and they're forcing them to throw. They're stopping the run. Philadelphia gives up about 4.7 yards per carry. So if the 49ers can run it to slow the pass rush, they'll be okay. If not, and they become one-dimensional, obviously they're not going to win the football game, and they're going to be under a lot of pressure.
How about the other side of the ball when Philadelphia is on offense?
And they got a lot of weapons just like the 49ers. And, you know, look, they were shutting everybody down early in the season. They had a couple of injuries, and now they're back to playing the kind of football that they've played. And, again, Dak wasn't very good. Now, is that Dak or is that the 49ers defense? I mean, they've been consistently good all season long. Nick Bosa has been consistently good. Fred Warner might be the best linebacker. Off ball, certainly great against the pass, great in space. Dre Greenlaw is very underrated. So they've got a tremendous front seven, might be the best in football. Their secondary can be had. They can be a little bit too aggressive. Talanoa Hufanga up front. Deamonor Lenore, one of the corners, he's playing because there's an injury. So I think the front seven will be fine. I don't know that Philly's going to be able to run it very much. The 49ers, throughout their history over the last number of years under Kyle Shanahan, the one major problem they've had, and a lot of teams are like this, mobile quarterbacks. They, you know, you want them to stay in rush lanes. Dak Prescott, right before the half, before he threw a stupid interception, had a 9-yard run on a 4th and 8. And we were just talking in the booth right before the play how much the 49ers had worked on staying in their rush lanes and not allowing the quarterback to get out of the pocket. And Dak doesn't run it very much. He just runs it at key times. And Jalen Hurts is a totally different animal. So the one thing I would be concerned about in the run game would be Jalen Hurts getting out, whether it's a designed run or scrambles, and getting key first downs throughout the game.
Hufanga, I mean, we look at him here in Pittsburgh, and we see another version of Polamalu. I mean, how close to that is he? I know he's getting some all-pro buzz. Are we making too much of him here because he's reminiscent of, like, one of the most popular Steelers in the last 30 years, or is he legitimately close to that good?
Well, I mean, you see the hair flowing, obviously, and they both went to USC, so there's a lot of things there. But, he's Polamalu-esque. But I don't want to disrespect, especially there, Troy Polamalu and the kind of things that he did. I mean, he's not quite to that level, but they are similar in that they will kind of get outside of the defense sometimes to make plays. I think one of the reasons why Hufanga got a lot of Pro Bowl recognition was that early in the season he was making a lot of wow plays, blitzing the quarterback, making a lot of hits. But one thing they have done to kind of slow him down, not to take away his aggressiveness, but he's gotten beat deep. I mean, the one thing against this defense, even though it's number one, points allowed, rushing, all these different things, different categories, they consistently once or twice per game give up big plays. And I'm not talking about, you know, a 20-yard explosive. I'm talking about, like, last week, CeeDee Lamb had a 46-yarder, the first playoff game against Seattle. DK Metcalf beat Charvarius Ward down the sideline for a 50-yard touchdown. They're so aggressive sometimes in the secondary, led by Funga, who makes a lot of wow plays, but then we'll give up a big play on the other end, and the 49ers are trying to find that middle ground with him to make plays but don't give up big plays. And he's getting a little bit better at that. So, yeah, he looks like Polamalu, went to the same school as Polamalu, but I'm not ready to put him in that category yet.
Back to the offensive side of the ball, John. I get John Lund with us from KNBR in San Francisco. I wrote a column today for the Trib talking about how Steelers fans here are salivating and at the same time nervous about how long Joe Burrow could be this good in this division in the AFC North with the Bengals, and how they would like the Steelers offense to be what the Bengals offense is. And I sort of cautioned that by saying we can hope for that as much as we want, but it's a heck of a lot to hope that Kenny Pickett becomes Burrow, that Pickens becomes Higgins, that they can find a Chase, that Najee Harris can be kind of Joe Mixon-esque for 7 years as opposed to just two. There's a lot of hope there. I look at what the Niners do, and I say that's what they should be trying to do, is scheme and create and offensively draw up plays to get guys open and put the ball in the hands of the quarterback by way of the offensive coordination, by the way of the game plan and the scheming to be the star. And I think a lot of that's what's happening with Purdy right now. Why doesn't anybody else, and why can't everybody else do what Shanahan does?
That's a great point. I mean, everybody runs a version of what he runs, and it obviously goes back to his dad. So there's a version of it, but I guess he's the master of it. But, you know, you're looking at, you know, McVay, and you're looking in Cincinnati, and you're looking at a lot of branches off of Kyle's tree. And when Sean McVay won the Super Bowl, the same kind of thing. So they grew up in the same coaching staffs under Mike Shanahan. And you're exactly right. I mean, you're talking about the zone read running game. You're talking, you know, getting the one thing they do is they don't spend high picks on running backs. If you look at it, Elijah Mitchell was a sixth rounder. Now they did trade for Christian McCaffrey this year, but go back to Mike Shanahan's, you know, Denver Broncos, Alandis Gary and Mike Anderson and the type of players they had. They don't really do that. But what they do is, because it's a one cut and up the field, and they don't expect you to juke people. They expect you to run guys over. So there's a lot of injuries with their running backs. Although McCaffrey, who was injured, has kind of stayed healthy with the 49ers. But some of it is he runs out of the slot. But your point is that it's the scheme. And I think it's a lot easier, like you said, to find an efficient quarterback, which Pickett, I think, can be.
Oh, I see surround Pickett in this offense, and I drool. I mean, like, yeah, I look at Purdy, and I see if, you know, I feel like Pickett, where he's a Bud Light version of Burrow, can be the Johnny Walker version of what Brock Purdy is. You know, like,
that's a great analogy.
Like, that's sort of how I view it.
No, but what this offense requires of the quarterback is not the strongest arm, not the smartest, not the what it requires and what Brock Purdy's really good at. There's, I don't want to bore you, but he took this test and he was in the top 3%. But what the 49ers like about him is he quickly gets through the reads. He can see it. He's efficient. He gets it to the right people at the right time. It comes out quickly. It's the same thing Jimmy Garoppolo did. He doesn't have the measurables or anything like that, but he has a quick release and he gets through his reads quickly. That's what this offense requires. It's supposed to go to the right guy at the right time. And then the 49ers, for I think it's six straight years, have led the league in yak. They get it to the right players at the right time, and Kyle designs it. So there is going to be space, and you've got to make plays with it. So, again, some of the guys that you hear about don't jump off the page. Debo's really good, but he wouldn't be as good if he was somewhere else. Same with Brandon Ayuk. I mean, go down the line. McCaffrey did it before he got here, and he's been a really big bonus for the 49ers. But your point is taken in that it is the design of the offense. It is the outside zone running game, and it's the quarterback being smart and efficient with the football, getting it out quickly, and then allowing athletes to make plays. Joe Burrow's a freak. You're not going to get that guy. Yeah. I mean, there's a handful of those guys in the league. There's Mahomes and there's Burrow, and Josh Allen wasn't great at the end of the year, but there's a handful of those guys. The chances of getting those guys are few and far between. Look, the 49ers and Shanahan went outside of their comfort zone to try to get Trey Lance, and so far, we don't know fully what he is, but so far, he just hasn't been that guy. He's a really good athlete, but he doesn't decipher it quickly enough. He doesn't get it to the right people quickly enough. And I think that Brock Purdy is going to be the long-term starter of the 49ers because he's an extension of what Kyle sees on the field. And there's a certain way, in a cerebral sense, that you have to play the position for the 49ers. And they don't necessarily need the top-end guy to do that. They're least reliant on their quarterback and his physical traits than probably anybody else in the league.
So you think he's going to be the long-term quarterback. That means NFC Championship or not, Super Bowl or not, he's the starter next year. And then what? Is Lance the backup, or what do they do?
That's a great question, and I think it's the one that everybody is kind of looking at around here. I mean, I think, and just hearing from what people say inside the building, that he is the long-term answer. Again, I'll go back to what we said at the beginning. I don't think he has a long enough track record to say that. I think teams are going to adjust to him. I think Dallas and their speed gave him trouble. I think that Philadelphia is going to give him trouble, not to say that they can't win. But they love him. I mean, I just know that they love him. Now, Trey Lance doesn't make very much money. You know how the cap works. I mean, they could keep him as the backup next year, and in case Brock falls on his face, because they did give up 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance. But as I said, that's not really the quarterback that Kyle has featured, nor has Mike. Now, they did have RG3, and Kyle actually designed that offense in Washington, but it ended poorly, and he always wanted to go back to the type of efficient quarterback that they now have in the 49ers. But, yeah, the big question is, can he do this long term? And then what do they do with Trey Lance? Because they still owe a first round pick in the trade that gave up Trey Lance. So while I think that he's going to be the backup next year, because between the two of them, they don't make very much money at the position, I could see if a team made an aggressive offer that liked Trey Lance coming out of North Dakota State, that they would trade that, because they don't have any picks. They gave him up all of them for Trey Lance and then for Christian McCaffrey as well. They don't even pick to like the 4th or 5th round.
Niners are 2.5-point underdogs. Do they cover? Do they win? What do you think?
I think this is the end of the road. You know this. You know, Ben Roethlisberger won a Super Bowl in his second year, but no rookie quarterback has gotten past this point. There have been 4, now 5, get to championship games, but they haven't gotten to the Super Bowl. And one of the reasons they haven't is because I don't think efficiency is going to be enough. I have a lot of respect for Philadelphia. I think the 49ers are great defensively, and it wouldn't surprise me if they won. I think it's going to be a close game and a lower scoring game than people think, because I respect both of these defenses. But I don't think that efficiency, just being efficient, just not turning it over, is going to be enough against Philadelphia. I think when you get to this point, you see, as you pointed out, Mahomes and Burrow, and the way that Jalen Hurts has played when he's healthy, it takes the quarterback to make plays in these kind of games. And maybe Purdy can. He didn't make a ton of them last week against Dallas. Some of it was protection. There's no question about it. But it's difficult to get to the Super Bowl and just be efficient unless you have a defense like the Steelers, obviously in the 70s, the Ravens, I think, were the last to do it. With just defense and an efficient quarterback, it's just really difficult to do.
John, thanks so much, man. It was great catching up with you. Enjoy the NFC Championship game. I'm glad we could do this. Maybe we'll catch up again before the Super Bowl if they get that far, all right?
That was good, brother. Good to talk to you again.
John Lund from KNBR in San Francisco.